Welcome. Thank you. Hopefully you guys are excited and ready, man. Listen to me. This series is changing lives. We've had over 5,000 people take the personality assessment, and literally lives are changing, marriages are changing. People who don't even go to Sandals Church, people who have no idea what Christianity is, are being introduced to Jesus through this series. So keep inviting your friends, keep telling them about what it is, show them your funky score, and you know they don't even know what the crossword puzzle weird color, you know, chart is. Show it to them. Because it's really, really helping and blessing people. Listen, if you're visiting us today, let me just say, I'm glad you're here. And I just want you to know that this series called You, when I first encountered the Enneagram about 15 years ago, it transformed my life. It changed the way I see God because it changed the way I see myself. It made me a better dad. It made me a better husband. It made me a better Christian and a better pastor. And I believe that if you take the time to get to know yourself and let God speak, He will transform and change your life. So now let me say this. Today we're talking about the four, the individualist. If you are a parent here, let me beg you. Let me beg you, if you have a little four that you're raising, you need to listen to this sermon over and over and over again, okay? Because if you're raising a four, you might want to jump off a cliff. Don't do that because they're special, they're unique, they're amazing. And listen to me, don't you dare change them. That's the way God made them. They are special. They are amazing. And let me say this, they're almost always misunderstood. And so if you're a four, don't panic. If you know your Bible, if you don't know your Bible, you're not going to panic. But if you know your Bible, you're going to freak out as soon as I tell you who we're going to talk about today as a four. And let me tell you why I think you're wrong when you freak out. Because I think the person we're going to talk about today gets a bad rap. He gets a bad rap. And he was an amazing, amazing individual who was thrust into an incredible position of leadership. And it was excruciatingly difficult for him. But because of his obedience to God, he transformed and changed the nation of Israel. And let me tell you who we're going to talk about today. King Saul. King Saul. An amazing individual. And most of you know his story because it ends in a cloud of dust and some emotional rants, and he tries to throw spears at people. If you're a four, put down the spear and listen up. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And he made you, you. Don't ever let somebody tell you you need to be different. Be who God's called you to be. Listen to me, everybody else is already taken. Be who God made you to be. So let's pray, because our fours, listen to me. Remember we said last week, we talked about the threes. America is the land of the brave and the home of the three. In America, we kill fours. That's what we do. We eat them up and we spit them out, but we need them. They're amazing. And if you have a community group and there's no fours in your community group, go get one. Go get one, because they feel the heart of God. They feel your feelings, especially if you're three. You need a four so you can discover your feelings. They know your feelings better than you do. So go get one, because they feel that's who they are, and they're awesome. So let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for every single person in our church. God, they're a gift to us. God, they're a gift to Sandals Church. God, especially the fours. We're so grateful for them. God, I pray they would never be ashamed of who they are or what you've called them to be. But God, they would embrace their uniqueness and just trust you in this process. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now let's take a look. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to 1 Samuel. If you're new to Christianity, let me just tell you two books you should read, 1 and 2 Samuel, amazing, amazing books. Samuel is one of the most important characters in the entire history of our faith. You need to know him, you need to know about him, and he led Israel for an amazing period of time, but he's at the end of his life, he's not doing well, he was an amazing leader, not a great dad, and many leaders are not great dads, and so he raised up some idiot sons, and Israel's freaking out, right? They're freaking out, we love Samuel, his boys make us nervous. We want a king. We don't want Samuel's family line. So Samuel's upset about it. He goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, listen to me. He says, give them what they want. Be careful. You keep asking God for stuff, he might give it to you. God says, fine, enough. Give it to them. Give them what they want. They want a king, they can have a king. So here we go. Here's the story. Later, Samuel called the people of Israel to meet before the Lord, circle this word, at Mizpah. Now, I know, you know, you're not a Bible historian or guru or a walking Bible bibliography. I understand that. But circle that word, because this is important. Literally, in the book of Judges, something else happens at Mizpah. And here's what it is. the extermination of the tribe of Benjamin almost takes place. All of the 11 tribes of Israel gathered together because the tribe of Benjamin was so wicked, so evil, so terrible, they set out to wipe them off the face of the earth at Mizpah. Remember, the tribe of Benjamin. Just put that in your note. Put that in your noodle. Let it sit there. We'll get there in a second. And he said, this is what the Lord God of Israel has declared. Okay, this is God. He said, I brought you from Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all the other nations who are oppressing you. But though I have rescued you from your misery and distress, you have rejected your God today and have said, no, we want a king instead. This is what God's people do. We want to be led by our own emotions, our own desires, and not God. God says, fine, you want a king, I'll give you a king, but I'm supposed to be your king. Listen to me, and if you don't know this, Jesus is supposed to be your king, so get off the throne. Get off the throne. There's not two seats. There's not one there for you. It's for Jesus. He says, but you've rejected God today. You have said, we want a king instead. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and by clans. So tribe is your big group. That's who you are. There's 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. And within those 12 tribes, they're clans. They're clans. And so God says, I want you all to appear today. We're going to pick from all of your tribes and from your clans today. We're going to elect a king. No, that's not what he says. God says, I've chosen a king. And if you're a four and you're freaking out, God chooses a four to be the king. Listen to me. As a four, the world will never realize how special you are, but God does. God does. God sees you for who you are. So Samuel brought all the tribes before Israel, the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. What does that mean? They gambled. They threw dice. God's in control. Throw dice, go to Vegas, do whatever you want. Listen to me. God is in control. He's in control. And we're always freaking out, right? Obama gets elected. Oh my gosh. Trump gets elected. Oh my gosh. Everybody's freaking out. God is not surprised. God is not surprised. God's not sitting in heaven watching CNN. I wonder who will get elected today. Jesus, how do you think this is going to turn out? They're not eating popcorn wondering. They're not anxiously freaking out. God knows. He's in control. He understands exactly what's happening. But the people of Israel are like, okay, God's going to choose somebody. So they brought forth each family of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember, they gathered at Mizpah at one time to exterminate the tribe of Benjamin. But they didn't. The tribe of Benjamin's still here. But listen to me, fours, they're the smallest clan in Israel. Smallest tribe. Smallest. The most insignificant, and yet the most significant person will come from that tribe. From that group. The Lord brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Matrites was chosen. And finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. I love this. Oh, we know who the new king is. We've just elected a president. We now have a leader. But when they looked for him, underline it, what does it say? He disappeared. Why? That's what fours do. Oh, I'm in the spotlight. Whoop! I'm out of here. I'm out of here, right? Okay, there's one person in the audience who doesn't want to be king. You know what his name is? Saul. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to be thrown in front of everybody. So they asked the Lord, where is he? We just elected somebody and we can't find him. I love this. The Lord replied, and let me tell you this, if you're a four, you can hide from me, but you can't hide from God. And the Lord replied, he's hiding amongst the baggage. He's over there, right over there. Right over there. Some of you think, oh, I'll run to God. I'll run from God. I'll go to Vegas. I'll move to California. I'll move away from California. I'll go wherever I want to go. God will find you. God will find you. When I ran from God, you know what I did? I joined the United States Army. I ran from God. No, I will not serve you, God. I will serve America. I joined the Army. You know what they did the first week in boot camp? They made us go to church. It was a different time. It was a different time. I was awakened in the morning, 4 a.m., with a trash can. Bam, 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 bam. Get up, Brown. You know what my drill sergeant told me? He said, you got a problem. You know what your problem is, Private Brown? I said, no, sir. He said, your name is Two, and I can't use the word because he cussed. Two, well, let's say Dang. There's children present. Your name is Two Dang Easy to remember. That's your problem. So when he didn't know who to yell out, guess who he picked? Private Brown, get over here. You know what he told me? He said, you're going to church today. I said, I don't want to go to church. He said, I don't care. Get up. going to church. I ran from God. Can't run from God. God says, where's Matt? Where's Private Brown? There he is in the baggage. Get him. Boom. He's going to church. You know what happened when I went to church? Cried the whole service. Whole service in front of fellow soldiers. You know why? Because I got a little four in me. I do. It's one of the major influences in my life. I cry all the time. I've seen The Notebook 1,000 times. I cry every time. Every time. My wife, my kids, they don't watch the movie. They watch Dad. You crying again, Dad? You know she doesn't know who he is.
So good.
I cry. I'm just emotional. I got a lot of four inside me, okay? So they asked, where is he? And the Lord replied, he's hiding amongst the baggage. So they found him, and they brought him out. Hey, you're our king. Underline this for us. Here he is trying to hide, and what does it say? He stood head and shoulders above everyone else. And if you're a four, you always will. Do you know why if you're a four, people are critical of you? Because they're envious of you and your gift and your uniqueness, your talent. You're different. You don't look like everybody else. You don't act like everybody else. You're you. And so oftentimes what we do in our culture with someone who's a little different is we try to wreck them. Why would it be significant that the Lord would say he stood head and shoulders amongst everyone else? Because if you're a Jew, you're God's chosen people, but you're short. That was funnier than that. It was funnier than that, right? He's taller than everybody else. When you read the Bible, usually when they describe the enemies of God, you know what they say? They're tall. They're really, really tall. Because when you're a Jew, that was important. Who are we fighting? Tall guys. You know, it's like on a basketball team. You're just going to lose, man. You're just, it's not good. Thank God the Jews had God. Amen? Right? You go to the battlefield. Wow. Goliath is tall. He is. I ain't fighting him. They just don't. But they say Saul is taller than everyone else. He stood head and shoulders above anyone else. And then Samuel said to the people, underline this and don't ever forget it. This is the man the Lord has chosen. This is who God picked to be your king. No one, listen to me if you're four, no one in Israel is like him. Nobody's like him. Stop apologizing for being different. Stop apologizing for feeling different. God's made you different. No one's like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king. Unless you read the next chapter. Because you know what it says? Not everybody liked Saul. Not everybody agrees. Welcome to leadership. Welcome to leadership. Everybody liked, read the next chapter. Some people didn't bless him, didn't honor him, didn't like him. He's a little different. Why was he hiding in the baggage? That freaks me out. I want a leader that's not in the baggage. I don't want a leader with baggage. Saul was in the baggage. Not only does he have baggage, right? So let's talk about the individualist. The individualist reflects God's uniqueness. God is unique. Listen to what God says. Then the Lord God said to Moses, there is no one like me in all the earth. There's no one like me. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, who believes that all gods are the same. All religions lead to the same place. It's all the same. Blah. God says, there's no one like me. And don't you ever let Pharaoh forget it. Right? There's no one like God. Who picks a stutterer to proclaim your message? God does. Some of you have read that. See, if you have the King James, it says slow of tongue. It means he stutters. That's who God picks to announce his glory. Do you know why? Because it wasn't about Moses' words. It was about the power of God. There's no one like me. And if you get tripped up, you got your brother Aaron. Let him talk. Now go. Now go. You see, the four reflects God's uniqueness. Listen to me if you're a four. You know what Moses said? God, I can't talk. God, you picked the wrong one. God, you never would pick me. And fours never feel like they're supposed to lead. And oftentimes, they're the only ones who can feel and sense the direction of God. Everybody else is going their own way. The fours are like, I don't feel like we should be doing this. This doesn't feel right. They reflect the uniqueness of God. Now, here's what's amazing. The four and the three sit right together. The three's motivation, right? Remember last week? The successful person wants to be successful. They don't really care how they feel. They just want to win at your expense, right? I just want to win, and I need you to lose so everybody knows where everybody sits on the food chain. The four doesn't want to win, but they want to feel like what they're doing matters. So if you're raising a four, they're not going to be interested in making a lot of money. They're going to be interested in doing something that matters. So you'll send your four to college and spend $200,000, and they'll pick a career path that earns 10 bucks an hour. Oh, but it makes a difference. And you're pulling your hair out as a three or an eight or whatever you are, freaking out because your little four wants to do something that matters. That's who they are. They care about making a difference. Look, you can win threes. You can all win. You can all do what you want to do. Look, I just want to make a difference. I want my life to matter. So the motivation is significance. 1 Samuel 14, 47 through 48. Listen to me. Some of you, you're going to hate the fact that I picked four. And let me just tell you this. When you read through the Bible, here's one of the things that's amazing about the Bible. When a king dies, the Jews who write about the king, let me just say this, they are brutally honest. Brutally honest. Like, you don't want to be a Jewish king because if you stunk, they let everybody know. You were terrible. You were so terrible, you don't even get to be buried with the kings. We don't even like you. We didn't like you when you were alive, and we don't like you now that you're dead. Jews are real. Very, very real about their leaders. When you read when 1 Samuel, when Saul passes, they loved him. They loved him. It says this, when Saul had secured his grasp on Israel's throne, he fought against his enemies, circle these words, in every direction. Anybody ever seen where Israel lies? Right in the middle of every major superpower for the last 3,000 years. You know where their enemies are? In every direction. In every direction. America has been blessed in that we are separated by vast amounts of water. Right? We have literally the Atlantic Ocean and we have the Pacific Ocean. We've been very, very safe. Israel, not so safe. Not so safe. So what does he do? He fought against his enemies in every direction and he performed, underline this, great deeds, saving Israel from all those who had plundered them. That's pretty amazing. Let me tell you something. You can control what you do in life. You know what you can't control? What people say about you when you die. People can say what they want. They're eating potato salad. You paid for it. You're dead. They're going to say whatever they want to say. They're going to say. One time I went to a funeral. There's an old lady there. She had to be in her 90s. We buried her husband. I said, "How you doing?" She said, "I'm just glad he's gone." Whew. Wow. She said, "The potato salad's good." Wow. See, when you're dead, people will say the truth about you. The truth. Listen to me. Saul was an amazing leader. What's the need? The need is to be unique. Listen to me. If you're a four, you are unique. You are unique. What does the four avoid? Being basic. Right? You're not taking your four kid to JCPenney. They're going to make their own clothes. Right? The three wants a label. The four hates the label. I will not shop at Nordstrom's. Right? They're going to find some reason. They want to be different. Like, I'm wearing my forest shirt that I have. It says I'm a four. I like to party, but I also preach. That's what this shirt is saying. And see, a four loves this shirt except the fact that there's a label. And they're like, "Ah, I hate that. I hate that. You had me, Pastor, except for the label." If you were really in touch with your feelings, you would have sewn that shirt yourself on a spiritual trip to India. Okay, I don't have that much for. I don't need to soak in my own clothing and, you know, weave it from some hair from a camel somewhere in India. I don't need to do that. Fours want to do that. That's just fantastic. What does a four focus on? What's missing? Listen to me. This is literally the thorn in the four's flesh. They have a hard time being happy because they're constantly focused on what's missing. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with their clothes? What's wrong with their status? They can be overwhelmed with what's missing. They struggle being satisfied. Fours, if they're not careful, they can really, really enjoy being kind of depressed, kind of dark. Somebody loves a four. Do you hear that? And if you know the story of Saul, it gets a little dark. He gets a little depressed. Matter of fact, they have to bring in a young guy by the name of David to play the harp to soothe him when he's seriously depressed. When he's seriously feeling really, really emotionally low, they bring in David, he plays the harp, it makes him feel better. So he focuses on what's missing. What's the core sin of the four? Okay, if you're a four, get off Instagram. It's Enviagram for you. Get off it. Don't look at it. There's going to be somebody else more creative. Oh my gosh, I should have thought of that. Or I've been having that idea forever in my mind. Don't look at it, man. This is the madness of our modern society. Every idea, every unique thing you have, there's somebody else that's doing it. The core sin of the four is envy. I want to be the most unique, the most special, and you're unique, and you're special, and that's threatening to me, right? I get to be the only weird one. No, have you looked around? Have you noticed? There's some other fours, right? There's some other people on a spiritual journey in India making their own clothes. The core sin is envy. Oh my gosh, I need to be the only one who is creative, who's an individual, and there can be no one even remotely like them because then I have to hate them. Guess what happens in Saul's life? He becomes so preoccupied with a young man named David that he loses complete sight of who he is. And let me say this if you're a four. I want to go back to the summary of Saul's death. They didn't say we hated Saul. They said we loved him. He fought our enemies in every direction. He protected us. He was valiant, and he was loyal to us. The nation grieved when he died. Some of you don't know this, but God anoints David king. Did you know that there was a civil war that raged in Israel for 30 years? For 30 years. Do you know why? Listen to me, Forrest, because people were still loyal to the line of Saul. They loved him. They were loyal to him. So the core sin of the four is envy. And here's their fear, being unnoticed. Oftentimes, if you have multiple children, that middle child is the most likely to be a four. They feel unseen, unheard, unnoticed. They're not the first, they're not the last, they're stuck in the middle. And so that's their fear. No one's going to see me. Nobody cares about how I feel. Nobody cares about what I think. Nobody cares about what I do. And oftentimes fours, you know, they're not going to be, you know, the valedictorian. They're not interested in sports. You know what? They're interested in being themselves. And if you love a four, you need to be interested in that too. Because God's made them different. Absolutely different. They're not always into competitions. They just enjoy life for what it is. And that's why we need to appreciate these people, because they remind us that it's important to be significant in life and make a difference. So their fear is being unnoticed. 1 Samuel 18:7-9. So here's what happens. David, young King David, is being raised up, and David is a warrior. David's amazing, right? The story isn't Saul defeats Goliath. Does anybody remember the story? It's David defeats Goliath. And so people start to get excited about the newer, younger, fresher version of Saul. And so here's how the women sing this song. They sing this song. And here it is. Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his what? 10,000s. Ooh. And this made Saul very angry. What is this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only 1,000s. Next, they'll be making him their king. Underline this. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on what? David. Do you know where Saul's eye should have been? On God. Listen to me very carefully if you're a four. When God chooses David to be king, you need to really listen to his words. This is what he says to King Saul. I have found a man who is after my heart. Listen to me. If you're a four, you can be overwhelmed with your heart, your emotions, your feelings, and you can be so consumed with how you feel you lose your faith. And if you've read the Bible, David ain't perfect. Wait till we get to the seven. We're going to study David. David likes to party, right? Sometimes it's with Bathsheba. Sometimes it's naked, worshiping God. That's strange, right? That's a little strange. Yeah, that's the seven. They like a party. So how on earth does a four? Oh, I skipped something. Sorry. He kept a jealous eye on David. What's the underlying emotion? We're still in the shame quadrant. Twos, threes, and fours feel shame. Remember, if you're a two, you're ashamed you're not good enough unless you're doing something. You got to serve somebody. If you're a three, you're ashamed you're not good enough, so you wrap yourself in things or in achievement. If you're a four, you're ashamed of being ordinary. You're not special. You're not unique. And what's tragic about this, if you're a four, you are. You are. Just by being a four, listen to me, there are less fours than any other number in America. You're automatically unique and special simply by being a four. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Remember what God says to Eve? Who told you you were naked? If you're a four, here's what you need to hear from God. Who told you you're ordinary? Because it's not God. God knows you're special. God sees you. God saw Saul. He picked him from the crowd. And when Saul tried to run from his creative destiny, God said, he's in the baggage. He's in the baggage. I see you. You can't run from me. You didn't think I noticed, but I noticed because I'm God. So get over here and let us anoint you as king. So how on earth does a four need to be real? Real with yourself. Psalms 139, 14. If you're a four, would you do me a favor and memorize this and never forget it? And the next time you feel sad, depressed, you feel like you don't mean anything, you have no value, I want you to recite God's word. Thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Listen to me. When you call yourself worthless, you know what you're telling God? He makes junk. God doesn't make junk, and he made you. Your workmanship, God, is marvelous. How well I know it. Listen, Saul's depressed because he's not David. God never created Saul to be David. And let me just say this. Let's just talk about Saul for a minute. Do you know Saul was an amazing dad? Do you know how I know that? Because his son's name is Jonathan. He's fantastic. Anybody look at David's kids? Not so good. Not so good. Read about an Absalom. Absalom tries to kill his dad, David. Jonathan was loyal to the very end. Absolutely loyal. He raised great kids. He did great things. He did amazing things. God never, ever, ever called him to be David. He called him to be Saul. And here's what God wants you to be you. Don't be anybody else. Be who God has called you to be. You to be. Here's the transformation that you need to embrace as a four. It's called gratitude. Right? What is the four focus on? What's missing? What's missing? What's wrong with me? What don't I have? What gifts am I missing? So if you're the four, you wish you were every other number because your core sends envy. Why can't I be a one? Why can't I be a one? If I was a one, I would should on people so good. Why can't I be a two? I would serve everyone. I would be like Jesus. Why can't I be a three? I would be successful. Why can't I be a five? Deep, a deep thinker. Why can't I be a six? Right? I want to be a six. I want my core sin to be fear because at least that's reasonable. I want to be a seven. I need to let it loose and have a good time. I want to be an eight, tell people I feel. I want to be a nine and just chill. Why, God, did you make me a four? Because he's God and you're not. Right? That's how you know when you're probably a four, when you wish you were something else. Pray about it. See what God says. Gratitude. God, thank you for making me me. Thank you. We're raising a four in our household, and she is our middle kid. Our middle kid. Listen to me. She beats to a different drum. Your four might not even beat to a drum. It could be a harmonica. They could invent an instrument. That's what fours do. Fours are radically different. And listen to me, they don't fit into your box. They're not interested in being you. And that's what a lot of us do as parents. I'm going to raise not a child to be godly, but a child to be almost like God. That means me. That's what we all do as parents, right? I'm going to recreate my child and they're going to have the life I always wanted. Show me that verse. Show me the verse where God says, raise your child to be everything you wanted to be and have everything you wish you had. Last time I checked, all kids are God's kids and you're a steward of the resources he's entrusted you with. Right? Fours are different. Fours are different. My daughter's a four. She took, well, we don't know if she took third place, fourth place, or fifth place in the state. And let me tell you why. They all crashed at the finish line. So I think the judges just guessed. They didn't know. Just a pile of dust and whatever. So my daughter literally, in the state of California, literally one of the greatest mountain bikers, man, she just was awesome. She's like, yeah, I hate it. I'm done. She's not interested in racing. Like, sometimes she would be racing, and she'd be in first place, and then we would lose her. What happened? I don't know, Dad. I was out there, and I just started thinking. I'm like, you're in a race! You're in a race, and I'm a three, and you need to win. I'm like, how on earth in a race do you forget where you are? So I don't know. I just saw a bee, and I thought, I could be whatever I wanted to be. And then, like one time, another girl's bike broke and she stopped to help. I'm like, what are you doing? Step on her head and go by. It didn't always bring out the best in me. And my wife's like, well, what daddy really means is good job and way to be like Christ. Others. Here's the thing, if you're a four, you got to see the beauty and talent of others as a good thing. Let me confess this to you as sin. This is sin. I'm a three-wing four. So what that means is I want to be successful and I'm envious of everyone else who is. That's how it works out in my life. It's great. Thank you, Jesus, for making me this way. Your workmanship is marvelous and how wonderful you know it. Okay. I wanted to be the greatest preacher ever and I wanted no one to be like me. And you know what I discovered? God has a lot of amazing preachers. Like, they're just awesome. And that really irked me. That's what sin does. That's what the sin of envy does. God, we need to reach the world for Christ and we will do it through me, your humble servant. That's what envy does, right? You've got to see the beauty and talent of others as a good thing. It's a good thing. All beauty reflects the glory of God. All talent reflects the glory of God. It's okay if someone's a little better, a little more beautiful, a little more creative, a little more special than you. It's okay. Because God didn't call you to be them. He called you to be you. And you reflect the glory of God just like they do in a different way. In a different way. See beauty and the talent of others as a good thing. Here's one of the amazing, you probably never noticed this verse in the scripture. It's beautiful. The conflict with the Philistines was fierce all of Saul's days. They had battles all of his life. So whenever Saul noticed any strong or brave man, he what? He enlisted him. Saul was a noticer. He saw talent and he wasn't intimidated by it. He utilized it. That's a healthy four. Oh, you're gifted? Wow, we could do amazing things for the glory of God with your gifts. Wow, you're talented. And one of the things God had to twist in my heart was quit seeing talent as competition and seeing it as a gift from God to us and his kingdom. See, when it's about you, it's a threat. When it's about God, it's a benefit and it's great and it's amazing. And let me tell you one of the reasons I believe Sandals Church is as successful as it is. Because about 15 years ago, I had to repent from envy and say, God, send me all the talent you can. If you've met our executive team, if you've met them, every single one of them are amazing, gifted, talented leaders. And they serve here because I've learned not to be intimidated by giftedness, but to celebrate it. And to say, you guys are great, and be everything God's called you to be. I don't have to know everything, do everything, be everything. God doesn't want me to be awesome. He wants this church to be awesome. And for that to be true, we have to have an awesome team. An awesome team. That's why we do so great. You guys should meet our team. They're amazing, amazing, amazing people who serve God at Sandals. But that doesn't happen when a leader is insecure and is intimidated by giftedness. And listen to me, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't struggle with envy. Saul was the king of Israel and struggled with it deeply. You're not king, but you can struggle. All right, next, how do you need to be real with God? You've got to know your place if you're a four. You've got to understand you cannot be ruled by your emotions. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel. What happened? He was told, wait 7 days and I will come and I will sacrifice. I will do it. There are only three roles in the Old Testament. Three roles. Listen to me. Prophet, priest, and king. There are only three roles in the Old Testament. Prophet, priest, and king. You know what's amazing? Saul was two. He was king. And if you study his life, do you know what he was? He was a prophet. He prophesied. He's two of the three offices. He's two of the three. That's not bad. Two of the three. You got two of the three. Man, it's awesome if you got one of the three, right? You're king. It's good to be king. You're a prophet. That's amazing. You're a priest. That's incredible. Only Jesus would be all three. So here's the thing. Saul, you're a prophet and you're a king. Listen to me. You're not a priest. You need to wait for the priest Samuel to sacrifice before you go into battle. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel. But you know what happened? Samuel was a little late. Samuel had instructed him earlier to wait, but Samuel didn't come on time. Anybody ever had that prayer? Lord, I need you to answer me in the next 8 minutes. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings, and Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. He acted as the priest, and do you know what happened? He lost the role as prophet and king, and God chose David. Write this down. Feel your emotions, but follow your faith. Feel your emotions. God gave them to you, but follow your faith. So how to love a four? Number one, don't put them in a box. It ain't gonna work. I don't care how big the box is. Don't put them in a box. Next, enjoy and appreciate how deeply they feel. Some of you have no hearts. You didn't hear that? You don't have a feeling. Maybe you did once. They have feelings. They have emotions, right? Appreciate that. Love that. Celebrate that. Man, it's great they cry in worship. And some of you are like, you're like, Mr. Spock, tell me how that feels. Some of you watch people in here worship, they lift their hands, you're just like, that's interesting. Some of you at the height of your inspiration, I make an amazing point, and you're like, well done, Pastor. Well done. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, I'm talking about the fives. We're going to get at you next week. This is a crazy five. Praise you, Lord. That's a five just letting it loose. Enjoy and appreciate how deeply they feel. It's okay to cry at The Notebook even if you've seen it 1,000 times. It's okay. Next, point out how their uniqueness has blessed you. Fours will bless your life if you let them. Tell them, man, this is how you've blessed my life. Next, challenge them to feel, but to not be led by their feelings. And you're going to need to do this like every day. Every day. Okay, we've cried for 58 minutes. It's good. It's a good cry. It's a good cry. We've all felt the weight of your emotions. Now I need you to do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not, right? Next five, enjoy the ride. It's going to be fun. Woohoo! Right? Whenever we go in to talk with the four, who's my daughter, I don't know where we're going, but I know it's going to be entertaining. Right? And the conversation usually starts off with nothing's wrong, and then 8 hours later, wow, it's awesome. So how do you pray for the four? God, let me feel my emotions, but follow your commands. Look, I get it, Saul. You panicked, you freaked. Samuel's late, right? You should have read Lord of the Rings. Wizard is never late. They arrive precisely when they mean to. That's Gandalf. It's not in the Bible, but it's close. I get it, right? Wouldn't you guys be freaking out if you're going into a battle and everybody's panicking and you're the leader and you're waiting for Samuel and he's old? Did he die in the way? I can't text him. I can't call him. I don't know where he is. Maybe he forgot. I don't know. Samuel said, wait 7 days and I'll be there and then we'll go to battle and God will give you victory. Follow your faith, not your emotions. God, let me feel my emotions, but follow your commands. Help me to see the uniqueness, my uniqueness, and to love it the way you do. That's what you need to help a four with. Help them to love themselves the way God does. Help me to see others' giftedness and to celebrate it instead of being jealous of it. Right? Fours are amazing. Absolutely amazing. And we are blessed to have them. But listen to me, fours. If you don't get control of your emotions, you're going to throw spears at the people you love. And if you don't believe me, read the Bible. Let's pray. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward to receive today's Lord's Supper. So let's prepare for that. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to embrace, Lord, the Lord's Supper, God, help us all to just get in touch with our four, Lord, our individualist spirit, so that we can get in touch, Lord, with the emotion of the Lord's Supper. God, help us to feel your sacrifice, your death, your suffering, so that we could have a right relationship with you. God, we're so thankful for what you did for us on the cross, and we remember your death until you come. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you bless this time, this place, and this church, and that you would be a part of this amazing thing you asked us to do as we remember you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
His final breath. by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit she's a defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is
You know, I think whether you're a four or not, if you're honest with yourself, you're someone who maybe is trying to follow Jesus. Really, so much of our daily life, whether it's our emotional experience, the way we think about what we're going on, or really just how we act and engage with the world, so much of that is just about our own selves, right? We get caught up in our own lives, our own problems, thinking about our own journey, our own stories. One of the things I love about this time of communion or the Lord's Supper, that Jesus has asked his church to practice together. One of the things I love about this moment is just supposed to be a moment where we take all of that focus away from ourselves and we direct it back to Jesus. It's kind of like when Pastor Matt was just talking about Saul was so consumed with his own heart, his own experience, and God was out there looking for someone who would be after God's heart. Man, this is a moment where each of us, we want to kind of press into that. And I even want to invite you, if you're a four right now, man, just let yourself be. And if you have super low four or a little bit of four in you, whatever you have, man, allow yourself to just feel. Man, this is a moment where for followers of Jesus, we declare God's victory in our lives. Man, whether we have broken relationships, whether we have, struggles or addictions or habits that we just can't drop, man, God loves us. He's with us. He sees us and he wants to walk alongside us. And this is a moment where we remember that because of Jesus, we've got hope. Because of Jesus, we can be in relationship with God. And in that moment, God said, hey, I absolutely love you. So this is a time for us to practice gratitude. As we say thank you to Jesus, we remember what you have done. Man, communion, the Lord's Supper that we're about to take together is for people who are following Jesus. Christians is what we would say, right? So if you're a Christian, we want to invite you to take the Lord's Supper with us. If you're not yet a Christian, no worries. You can just hang on to those items and toss them after church. But this is also an incredible moment for some of you who've been maybe coming to church, checking out this Jesus thing to say, I don't know yet what all of this would look like, but I want to step into a relationship with Jesus. I want to take anything that's broken in my life. I want to take all of my all of who I am and say, Jesus, I want to figure out what it looks like to live with you and to trust you. That's an incredible moment for you. And we would love to invite you to become a Christian and let this act of communion be your very first step of obedience in following Jesus. And we'd like to invite you to take those together. So on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread, and after he broke it, he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you take your bread? Then he held up a cup of wine, and he said, this is my blood spilled for you. Would you take your grape? Jesus loves you more than you can possibly fathom. Let's continue to sing.
The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for